And we are turning now to Anti-Systemic Movements by Giovanni Arrighi, Terence K. Hopkins, and Emmanuel Wallerstein. And this is the conclusion of Chapter 3, The Liberation of Class Struggle. By way of preface, I think it's fair to suggest that three key objectives of anti-systemic movements are, first, to jog our unstimulated memory of the meaning of the phrase, the class struggle, to remind us that it is, by definition, the uncompromising commitment to the achievement of generalized human freedom globally, as it is a world system in which we are enmeshed. And second, to encourage us to be strategic, to base strategy on analysis, and then to show us, we the people, demonstrably, as the unequivocal result of their analysis, that we the people cannot achieve generalized human freedom with the strategy, claim the state. The more we delve together into this work, the more appreciative I become of its constant urging us to continuously analyze the implications of whatever are the current terms of our containment. Analyze their implications for the quote-unquote class struggle, i.e., the more I appreciate their consistent insistence that we think strategically. It is a necessary refrain to fold into our efforts. Theirs is a unique and uniquely practical analysis. Last week we considered, as perhaps the central organizing premise of these current terms, that as power made us, we the people, into a world-scale labor pool, to either be utilized by them or not, we found ourselves, began to experience our lives as mere products of a world-scale division of labor, affected and managed by the global megacorps, speaking broadly, structured in an overlapping rather than in polarized relations vis-a-vis each other. And today they ask us to consider the effect of instantaneous global electronic communications on our movement organizing efforts against the system, the world system. Quote, the third aspect of the ongoing changes in the organizations and structures of the capitalist world economy is the relational tendency suggested by the electronic village notion. Neither of the kinds of centralization of capital previously remarked, let alone the relational structures of domination in virtue of which they could occur and operate, is theoretically conceivable without the kind of material conditions for the exercise of power that electronification provides. The relational networks being formed in addition to the one that we are talking about are truly extraordinarily complex. We who would study them are often baffled by their reach, as well as by their operation. But so too are those responsible for and to them, whether in commanding or only local positions. On the other hand, these means of communication constructed for information to move inward, commands to move outward, are in place and rapidly growing, and my interjection, they are describing the design of the panopticon, the relations of which, while extensively and even intensively complex, extending to and within the smallest infant under class, via the mechanism so well described by Alice Miller in For Your Own Good and Prisoners of Childhood, are nonetheless linear, i.e., requiring that they hold our eyes, as opposed to each of us selecting our own society, to following our questions, to turning our head to see our brothers and sisters, all our brothers and sisters globally, linear, subject to the dissolution effect of the always continuous development of our, we the people's thought, and its associated expansion of our heart connections, empathy, as our knowledge of each other grows. They are describing the overall design of the Panopticon and the attempt of its designers to control how our intercommunications flow. For when talking about communication, we're talking about language, which, when once the emanation of our hearts longs for itself, and in longing for itself is subject to and commandeers forces mysterious to power. That primarily being the longing to be free. Which is why I could write near the beginning of waking up that once a boss told me, all the work of this organization originates with me. It all comes through me and is dispersed out to staff from me. I've never been in a job where this was true. But as with commercials and other propaganda, the point is not asserted because it's true, but because they want you to believe that it's true. Once we see that command of us totally, total command of us is the point of class society, and that the movements of capital that we dutifully follow are but the shadow cast by power's hand, the work of would-be gods atop their would-be Mount Olympus, with effectively infinite resources to control and command to spawn more of their number, their minions, then we can shift our focus back to the earth that births us, to our freedom-loving ancestors, and to our freedom-loving brothers and sisters.